Hello everybody. This is the translation of Guy Delabre's message for Sunday the 9th of June. The effects of the first Christian Pentecost. It has been 3 weeks since the Feast of Pentecost 2024, but let us still remember the effects of the first Pentecost. The reading is from Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." On that day, we know from reading this chapter, about 3,000 people were convicted of sin and repentance and were baptized. Certainly the disciples had a remarkable and notable experience, but what is even more notable is that the Lord still worked beyond this unique day. He worked in thousands of hearts. Certainly the disciples spoke of wonderful things that God had done, but the most important thing for this day was that wonderful things happened in hearts. Certainly this day saw memorable events, but the Holy Spirit did not begin to work in this way until that day. It had been manifesting itself for centuries without tiring. Today I would simply like to remind you that although there was a special day for many people on a Jewish day of Pentecost, around 2,000 years ago, God was always present in one way or another to establish and confirm his plan of salvation for humanity. God has never abandoned his creation, and even more so, his creatures created in his image, men and women. Here are some reminders. The mention of the Spirit of God exists in the Old Testament, even if it is not the subject of teaching as can be found in the mouth of Jesus or in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Those who searched for references to the Spirit of God in the Old Testament found 113 under the expression breath or wind and 136 under the expression Spirit of God. And notably, people have been indwelt with the Spirit of God to deliver, to lead, to act with authority in the face of enemies or evil spirits. Here are some examples. Judges chapter 6 verse 34. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezerites to follow him. Judges chapter 11 verses 28 and 29. The king of Ammon, however, paid no attention to the message Jephthah sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Here we are talking about Samson and his parents going to the territory of the Philistines. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him, and with his bare hand Samson tore the lion in two, as one does a kid. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. While Saul has just received the anointing with oil from Samuel, some experiences happen to him, including this one. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, timbrels, pipes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by spirit, says the Lord Almighty. This work you will accomplish, it neither by your bravery nor by force, but it is by my spirit, declares the Lord of heavenly hosts." This is the construction of the temple in Jerusalem after the return from exile and 10 years of interruption in the 6th century BC. God works throughout human history, in particular and first of all, within the people of Israel, the people chosen to keep and transmit the promises that God entrusted to them. But now God ensures that the promises of salvation no longer concern only the Israelites, but also the non-Jews. So this is what was initiated at the Feast of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. As we have seen, Jews from all nations will hear about salvation in Jesus Christ, and as a result, they will be the first witnesses of the grace of God in Jesus Christ back in their country. You have noticed that the first effect of the Holy Spirit in a life is surprising. When they heard this noise, they, the Jews, gathered in Jerusalem, ran in a crowd and were amazed. Indeed, each of them heard them speaking in their own language, more than 15 regions around the world. They couldn't believe it. Plunged into the greatest perplexity, they asked each other, "What could this possibly mean?" But others ridiculed it. "It is sweet wine," they said. "They drank too much." If the spectators, listeners of these events are surprised, let us also think of the disciples who must have been just as surprised, even if Peter, when speaking, claims not to be. Some of you suggest that these men are drunk. No way. It's barely 9 o'clock in the morning. But now what was spoken by the prophet Joel has come true. It's true. What's happening is normal, is planned, it's God's plan. Simply a new and unique day has made it possible to move the world into a new phase of the salvation of creation. And it is from that moment that a particular work of the Spirit of God must have begun, just as necessarily in the hearts of the first disciples. A divine operation is taking place in the hearts of many of the listeners, but another kind of divine operation is taking place in the disciples themselves. To succeed in spreading salvation in Jesus Christ throughout the world, the disciples will have to revise their principles, even their message. Let's take an example from the Apostle Peter. He seemed very sure of himself on the very day of Pentecost, and yet he still has to let himself be edified by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10. This is the story of the Apostle Peter's meeting with Cornelius, a Roman officer. While it is noon and he is hungry, Peter has a vision, that of a tablecloth supporting clean and impure animals. He is then asked to eat of all these animals, even the impure ones. For him, a Jew, eating clean animals is okay, but unclean ones? Acts chapter 10, verses 17 to 20. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." This is how Peter will be led to bring the message of salvation in Jesus Christ to Cornelius, a pagan. It was not easy for him. But let's stop for a moment on what is happening in other believers. Some will experience difficult moments, oppositions, because of their faith. Some therefore know persecution and they must flee. It is in the neighbouring region of Samaria that they go, a place of refuge. Yes, but a place hitherto unfrequented by a Jew. But there too the Holy Spirit gives assurance. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. The future Apostle Paul, had given his approval to Stephen's execution. From that day on, a violent persecution was unleashed against the church of Jerusalem. All the believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some pious men buried Stephen and mourned him greatly. As for Saul, he sought to destroy the church, going from house to house to snatch out the believers, men and women, and throw them into prison. The believers who had dispersed travelled throughout the land, proclaiming the message of the good news. Another example, let us stay in Samaria with one of them, the deacon Philip. He is then in Samaria, which is also the name of the capital, and there he will have to face a rival in terms of miracles, the famous Simon, a professional magician. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 13. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. The disciples accept the challenges that present themselves to them and understand that the work of God is not to be looked at with worldly eyes. They don't let sometimes hostile circumstances stop them. They discover that indeed the message of salvation must go beyond the limits of Judea and Galilee. They complete their ministry with teaching and practice that takes into account what concerns the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The servants of God, whether they are those of the old covenant through the persons of the judges or the governor cited above, or whether they are prophets or kings as we saw with Zechariah and Saul, or those of the new covenant through the persons of the apostles or deacons of the first church, or even simple listeners of a moment like at Pentecost, all could only submit to another form of thought against which their intelligence could not oppose. Sometimes it's short term, with King Saul, for example. Sometimes it's an entire ministry that is assigned to the person. Prophets, obviously, but also people like most of us, who discover themselves zealots and determined to proclaim the gospel like those who were scattered following persecution. They discover hitherto unknown abilities in the face of formidable adversaries, a lion, persecutors, a magician. They are led to experience things that are out of their ordinary, and it's true that sometimes they have to review the foundations of their beliefs, their principles, even their religion. So I come to us. Let us be in the same spiritual disposition. The action story is brought back to us by the grace of God to give us an idea of what God wants to accomplish in the pursuit of eternity through some of his creatures for the salvation of many others. Let's be prepared. Let's take the time to understand. Let's be careful. Let's think. But let us not be resistant. May our knowledge, even biblical, not be fixed. Let us accept questions momentarily without answers, a form of persecution, an evil, a vision, and seek the teaching of the Holy Spirit, since he offers himself as a friend, and believe in the sovereignty and faithfulness of God in all circumstances. We have understood that God's salvation has no boundaries, and that we are invited to take note of this. Whatever circumstances we may go through, let us not be resigned or afraid. May we leave it to the Spirit of God, the care of renewing our thinking, our outlook on the situation, and let us know if we have taken the step of expressing our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are his witnesses, sometimes in the context of a very simple daily life, sometimes in the framework of a ministry. We are encouraged in the same way as the first witnesses under the action of the Holy Spirit to leave it to God to operate in us a sort of revolution in our habits, our traditions, our outlook on the world, surrounding us and also our relationship with God. Let the Holy Spirit educate and guide us. Let us be familiar with his person, as well as with the person of the Father and that of the Son. It's about a fullness of life and for some a complete ministry. I suggest this for further reading. By Sylvain Romorowski. Sylvain Romorowski is a theologian who trained at Westminster Seminary in the United States of America. He is a professor of Old Testament at the Biblical Institute of Nogent-sur-Marne. He is also a lecturer at the Free Faculty of Evangelical Theology in Vaux-sur-Seine. Along with Jacques Buchold, he is one of the master builders of the Sower Study Bible.